Parshat Shlach Lecha deals with the story, the unfortunate incident of the Meraglim, the 12 spies that were sent, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, to check out the land of Israel, and 10 of the 12 came back with a terrible report, which created a whole feeling of weakness among the people, that they felt that they weren't able to indeed go into the land. And the Torah tells us in source number 1, the entire assembly raised up and issued its voice. The people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and Aaron, the entire assembly, to say to them, if we had only died in the land of Egypt, or only had died in the wilderness, why is Hashem taking us to this land to die by the sword? Our wives and young children will be taken captive. Is it not better for us to return to Egypt? On this pasuk, we have a very famous medrash, and it's this medrash that I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, try to understand a little bit more in depth today, and its message for us. The Gemara tells us, Rashi brings down, Hashem said, Atem bechitem bechia shachinam, you indulged in weeping without a cause, chayecha, I will establish this night as a time of weeping throughout the generations. And this was the night of Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, where both temples were destroyed and many other tragedies took place throughout Jewish history. We need to try to understand this Chazal. And this is a question that Yasufos Marachos, Rav Goldvich, asked. He says, we know, Klal Gadol Nakut B'Yadenu, that on Shah Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Einam B'Geder Nekimah Chalila. God doesn't give us punishment as revenge, but rather it is in order to be metakein, in order to fix. We have to be somehow able to rectify through the challenges we go through. What does it mean, atem bechitem bechia shochina? You cried a cry of nothing. I'll give you a reason to cry. So at face value, this seems to be vindictive, right? You had no reason to cry that night. You should have been able to go into the land of Israel and believe. Because you cried, for no reason, I'm going to give you a reason to cry. There's going to be a lot of tragedy, and there's going to be a lot of torment on this night, the destruction of the temples, etc. But we can't understand it. Like this. Obviously, at understanding it at first glance, they had a reason to cry. They were depressed. They were upset. So when we say, Atem bechitem bechia shachinam, what does it mean they cried for no reason? What is this phrase, chinam, for naught? What does that mean? We have to understand. And two, what is the connection with the fact that they cried for no reason at the time of the Meraglim, that thousands of years later the temple will be destroyed? What's the linkage between the destruction of the temple and Golos and exile with the sin of the Meraglim? Somehow the two are interconnected, and somehow the sin of Golos, the sin of exile, in some way, as the Sufos Baruchos mentioned, Yesh Bahem Mishum Ha'alat Mazur L'Makat Chen Meraglim, is coming to fix the sin of the Meraglim, which we need to understand. Before we even begin to examine this Medrash, which we'll do in Mirtz Hashem on three very basic levels, very exciting understandings, we'll just note, Rav Schlesinger in Vizel Satara brings down historically, indeed, that this is so, whether it's the Churban HaBayis or the Source 4, 65 years after Bayis Sheni, you have the story of the fall of Beitar, which also happened on Tisha B'Av. You have Rabbi Akiva and the Sharon Gay Malchut, Lupit Sarah Shemaim and Beyomazah. They went up into heaven on this day. The first exile in Europe happened in England in 1290, and it's brought down that it happened on July 18th. Which that year was Tisha B'Av, very similar to our type of year in calendar-wise. The Spanish Inquisition all began July 30th, 31st, which King Ferdinand then said, no, it should be on August 2nd. The Geirush, the expulsion, which that year fell on Tisha B'Av. And it goes through on the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in the Second World War as well, that the Pitaron HaSofi L'Sheilat HaYehudim fell out in July 31st, 1941, and Heydrich's declaration happened the next day, which was on Tisha B'Av. So there you see throughout Jewish history that Atem Bechitem Bechia Shel Chinam, you cry for nothing. Boy, am I going to give you reason to cry. Throughout history, we've been crying, not only with the temples, but we see so much of the expulsion and the blood has fallen out on this day, and it can't be by accident. There must be some lesson. And final, Nekuda, before we begin, we have to understand that if all of these things happen as a result of this crying for naught, if we can get a sense of what this means, then we can then be able to rectify what the problem was and somehow bring the Yeshua, perhaps bring the redemption. And that's why it's so critical to see what is this crying all about and the chinam all about and see how we can rectify this for our lives. We will note before beginning the first level, the Minchas Michal brings down in source number 7, the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal says that don't we find that the Gemara gives us very specific reasons why there was a Chorban HaBayis, why there was a destruction. It really has nothing to do with the Meraglim, with the spies. So Maharal answers is, had it been just for those sins, so there could have been other punishments. The fact that there was a galus, a actual expulsion from the land of Israel, was because of the spies. You're right, for the other reasons that they've done, other sins, so they could have been punished in other ways. But the fact that you had those sins coupled with the sin of the Chet HaMeraglim forced, says the Maharal, that galus, that exile is the answer. And again, understanding why is exile the answer. Let's try to understand level number 1. We'll begin with a very basic idea, which nothing is basic. Let's try to understand perhaps this idea a little bit deeper. Rabbi Spiro, in his new Sefer, Touched by the Parsha, Volume 2, notes the following. He says, there's nothing as dear to the Almighty, Source 8, as a messenger who's sent out to perform a mitzvah and gives his all to be successful in his mission. As Rav Zvi Meir Zilberberg explains, the Meraglim failed in this regard, as we see in Parsha Tshlach. They were entrusted with one of the most important missions in the history of the Jewish people, and they failed to appreciate its importance. Their falsified and slanderous report about Eretz Yisrael caused the Jewish people to cry, and the Almighty told them, as we've said, you cried for nothing. So I will set up for you to cry for generations. That happened on the night of Tisha B'Av. We cried, we didn't want anything to do with Eretz Yisrael. Now we cry because our deepest connection to Hashem and Eretz Yisrael, the Beit HaMikdash, is gone. How tragic. Rashi Meir Silverberg goes on to explain that the Almighty, that the Meraglim forgot that they were not merely messengers of the moment, but they were representing the future of the entire Jewish people. And had they fulfilled their mission properly, Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered Eretz Yisrael and the world would have been a complete tikkun, a complete correction. As Rav Rivlin notes in Enea Parsha, source number 9, quoting Rav Charlap, that it's not as we understand it on such a, simplistic, childish level. As the Meraglim went into the land of Israel and they went to see, was it a nice land, was it a sweet land, and they came back with a slanderous report. No. The Meraglim were sent on an incredible mission, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell them, V'chazaktem, you have to become strong. They, in a certain sense, were going in to be mitaken, to rectify the sin of Chet Eitz Hadat. Obviously, it's the Shir in its own right. We know that Eretz Yisrael was never affected by the sin of Eitz Hadat like other nations were, other lands. That's why Eretz Yisrael wasn't part of the Mabul. And while in the Gan Eden experience, part of the treason was that the trees did not, the fruit of the tree and the bark of the tree were not the same, Eretz Yisrael kept that ability to be able to maintain that sense of dveikus, that sense of closeness, that sense of loyalty to God's will. The fact that today it doesn't taste this way is a result of the sin that's found in this world. But what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to do was to take of the fruit of the tree and to show them that indeed the fruit is very special fruit. What fruit did they take? Yamim Yamei Bikurei Anavim. And according to some opinions, the fruit that Adam Arishon ate from was the Anavim, was the grapes. They were there to take the grapes in order to rectify the original grapes, to be able to metake in the chet of Eitz Hadat. They instead take a zmora ve'eshkol anavim. They take the branch of the tree to show everybody, you know what? The branch of the tree doesn't taste like the fruit of the tree. Eretz Yisrael isn't the land that we all think it is, that perfect Gan Eden experience. And in that way, instead of being able to metakein, to fix the chet Eitz Hadat, they just fell into, it was a tremendous spiritual pressure against them, and the negative forces just fell further into the trap. And they weren't loyal to the mission that Moshe Rabbeinu had sent them on, and the ultimate tikkun, ultimate rectification didn't happen. And Rabbi Spiro ends by saying the Torah is not merely telling us stories. Rather, the narrative of the Meraglim is a lesson for each and every Jew. We are all entrusted with a mission, one which is uniquely designed according to each person's individual abilities and potential. We are all Shluchei Mitzvah, the Almighty. We're all sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, obviously, we've spoken about this a lot. There's a lot more to say, and we'll touch on this a little bit soon in Mirtz Hashem. But the idea of the story of the Meraglim is to teach each and every one of us that we are sent on a mission. Our mission is to make this world a better place, what we call Tikkun Olam, the rectification of the world, and that's why we're here. And we have to learn from the Meraglim not to get caught up in the travesties of this world, but to be able to be focused on why we are here and to accomplish our mission with a loyalty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has invested in us, Rebbe Emunasecha. We take this idea of being Shluchei HaMakom, but failing, and that each one of us has this uniquely designed position, and what is it that we need to focus in on, and what is this Bechia Shochinam, you cried for naught, all about? I'd like to take a look at a beautiful essay from Rav Shlomo Breuer in Chochma Musar. Rav Breuer, the son-in-law of Rav Hirsch, was a student of the Ksav Sofer, and he notes the following in Source 9. What was the nature of the severe misconduct which brought death in the desert to that generation? It was the people's unjustified, desperate sense of helplessness induced by the depressing report of the spies. Amalek dwells in the land. It just won't work for us. The result? The people wept in this night. This same transgression, this is the gist of the sages' wisdom, which prevented our ancestors from moving to the promised land, caused them many centuries later to leave this land. It is the same transgression which still keeps us from truly entering the promised land. Well, what is this key? Atem bechitem bechia shel chinam bechia shel hevel. This is a transgression which always proved to be our fortune's pitfall. We had too little confidence in the arrow and nine in our own destiny and deemed ourselves powerless against the giants among the nations. And because we failed to recognize the true sources of our power and strength, it is these same circumstances which cause the continuation of our galut suffering. This is divine prophetic judgment. We are being held responsible for one thing. Im chafetz banu Hashem. If we would be able to feel Hashem's proximity, if we would be able to feel continuing intent Hashem's protection, then that would fill our hearts with the vigor of joyfulness and the pride of self-respect. What is our problem? Our problem is, instead of 11, do we not shed more often tears of failure and weakness instead of being inspired by divine nearness to attain inner strength and never-ending joyfulness? What's the Bechia Shochinam? What is the crying for naught? It's the feeling powerlessness. It's the feeling that we can't overcome. It's the feeling that we are nothing and not realizing how close Hashem is to us. This tear of utter weakness, which has always been the source of Israel's misfortune. He goes on to explain in Source 12, for Israel was to serve, but the service became servitude. It was to serve throughout existence in unending divine service. It was to serve Hashem exclusively. That's what Hashem had in mind. That's the vision that Hashem wanted in this world. That was the vision of Adam Arishon, of Gan Eden. Only God, dependent only on God, finding its strength and protection, its wealth and happiness, solely in its faithful devotion to God. It was to renounce any dependence on material support, and was to look to Hashem as a source of its courage and faith, to let itself be borne by Hashem on wings of eagles. Alas, the Jewish people was not satisfied to serve but the One, and it felt not secure under the protection of the One. Serving God failed to inspire the people, not the sum total of its happiness. And so it exchanged the service of the One with servitude to many, and proceeded in an atmosphere of incredible self-delusion to elevate the surrounding nations, their cultures and philosophies, to become masters of their existence. With God, the people felt insecure, and it looked to other so-called deities to ensure its safety and survival. Why do the people weep? What was the problem at that time, and what is the problem ad hayom hazeh? It's the problem of not feeling what Kalev Ben Funa says, Alo na'ale, we can go up. We're able, yuchafetz banu Hashem, if Hashem's desires, there's nothing stopping us. There's nothing greater than the word of Hashem. Why do we trade that assurance? Why do we trade that strength for the false deities of the world around us? Why do we, ad hayom hazeh, until today, exchange our lifestyles, our choices of the cultures and the environment around us in place of the spiritual security of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It is a misplaced priority. It is focusing our trust in the wrong places. And this is why we've had to endure in all these times. It makes no difference. It's a Meraglim. It's the Churban Bayis Rishon, Sheni, Spain, Germany, England. It's the same problem. It's the problem of not realizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the center of our world. We cried for nothing. We cried out of nothingness and of not realizing that we've exchanged nothingness instead of the protection of God. And this is so beautifully expressed when our rabbis have said that the names of the Meraglim, obviously they had beautiful meanings, innocent meanings, but in retrospect, Chazal learned their names to mean something negative. And obviously these names in their own right could be beautiful names and have beautiful connotations. The one that Chazal points out in Source 13 is Satur ben Michael, is one of the Meraglim. What does this mean? These names express the cause which brought about the tragic course of events. Satur, Shitzatar Dvarav Masav Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. He rebelled against the divine will. Michael, even though Michael is a beautiful name, right? According to Minchas Michael, right? Michael, who is like Hashem. Michael Kurosamin Shasad Svomach, when he demeaned himself. Satur is the son of Michael. Michael will always remain the father of Satur. This act of self-demeaning always leads to treason against God. Satur, one who rebels, is the son of Michael, is the son of one who demeans himself. The two work hand in hand. If only this one name interpretation remains in our memory, it is sufficient for us to serve as a constant warning of the scope of its transgression and its cause. Under the illusion of futility and weakness, the Jewish people shed bitter tears this sad night. Atem bechitam bechia shel chinam shel hevel, God is a word, calls to deluded one, your tears and fears are idle. That's what it means, bechia shel chinam. There was no reason for you to cry, and without justification. Faced by the mighty giants and fortified cities, the tears flowed. But viewing the excellent fruit of the land caused satisfaction and hope. What pitiful fools who still do not understand that the tears of the Jewish people cannot be dried without the promise of material reward. Do they not see that without God, even the economic wealth of a land is of no use? And this is our challenge. Ignoring this truth caused the loss of our land, destruction of our state, and the onset of bitter gullet suffering. Only the full, faithful realization of this demand, Zu Hachnosat Yisrael Aretz, will pave the way back to the homeland. But this will never be the case when we have the Bechia Shochinam, the tears of despair and weakness. When people think that they are nothing, they lack the courage to fight for God's determination, when that is going to be their mindset. As the title says, tears of temerity with a question mark. These were tears of temerity when they have rebelled against the very essence of what it means to be a Jew. To understand that Shlucho Shalodam Kemoso, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending you on a mission, he is with you on this mission. He becomes part of you. He gives you the ability to be successful. And this notes the Sichor Yitzchaska Rosi Meir Zilberberg in 15. The Yetzer Hara Mifatel Kol Echad, the Yetzer Hara works very hard on each and every one of us. She efshar lo lamale shlichuto b'zeh olam, that we're not going to be successful working on our shlichus in this world. And this was the complaint against the Meraglim, that they were k'tanim b'nei atzmam, they felt small in their own eyes, where they felt like, who are we? Every Jew has to believe, l'amin shanagah yudi l'malo miderech hateva, Jew does not work on natural ways. And even if everything around him looks natural, you have to believe, b'emuna shleima, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to conquer everything and allow us to be successful in our shlichus. And this is what the Meraglim were missing. The Meraglim were missing this feeling that they could do this. And this is the idea the Sfarim speak about in 16. Where the Pasuk says, the Meraglim came back, the spies came back, and they said, we appeared in their eyes like grasshoppers, like nothing. You know why we appeared in their eyes like grasshoppers? Because we appeared in our own eyes like grasshoppers. If we had appeared in our own eyes as Malachi, Malach, Malashon, Shaliach, and the squiggly line in 16, if we had looked at ourselves, the Sasemis says, as the Shluchei Abore, as Malachim, as angels, then we would have been successful and not worried what they were saying about us. The only way we can be successful is to be able to see the greatness inherent in us, to see the greatness that Hashem has invested in each and every one of us. It was because of the anivos of Zechariah ben Avkulus that Echriv Beis HaMikdash, and it's the same anivos psula that we have in our lives. Oh, me, oh, I can't do this. You expect literal old me to be able to be successful? This is our nisayon, Shebe'emes, in this time of Ikvasa de Mashiach, each and every one of us a shluach abore. And the Yetzirah is mefatev etoek lo nuchal, and the Yetzirah screams to us, you can't do it! And he shows us how hard it is to do. And he can show us over and over again, and our response has to be wrong. Our response has to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me into this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me life every day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. I need to daven for Siyata Deshmaya to be successful. The story the Baal Shem Tov tells, the story told about the Baal Shem Tov, where he once asked the Talmid to bring him wine that was watched, that no one would touch it, that it was completely kosher wine from one city to another for Pesach Seder. And the Talmud was very excited, and he went to the city, and he watched over the wine, and he made sure nobody touched it, and he was almost successful until he mamish almost got to the house of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and then the wine got touched by somebody and became impure. And he said to Baal Shem Tov, what did I do wrong? I tried so hard. Baal Shem Tov says, you worked so hard in being careful, but you forgot one element. You forgot a daven. You forgot to daven for Siyata Deshmaya, and that's the key of our lives. We have to daven like Moshe Rabbeinu daven by Yeshua, Kal Yoshiacha Metzah Meraglim, Hashem should save you from the negative advice on the Meraglim. You need tefillah. You need to be able to believe in yourself. You need to have the Amunah, and you need to daven at every step of the way. And he says, because they said, Lo nuchal, we're not unable to go up, and therefore we went into galus, kmo chen kol galut prati, each and every one of our individual galus. Ba ma sharash hazeh, comes from this weakness. Umita tova meruba, to the extent on the other side that a person mitchazek and knows and can scream, I'm able to do it. Kach zochim legeula, and this is an avoda tmidis, this is a constant work. And it's a work that we have to work on every single day. My friends, if we take this idea even one step further, into one of my humble opinion, one of the most beautiful pieces ever, Rav Bloch Sefer Shurei Das, where he says the following. If we understand, my friends, just to summarize what we've seen and then take this one step further, the Meraglim had the ability to create a tikkun of Chayrei Tzedak. They had the ability to take those grapes and be able to be metaken and be able to rectify them. The Meraglim had the ability to be the ones who were going to create the final tikkun, and they messed up on their shlichus. What was the missing link? What was the Bechiya Shochinam? They didn't believe in themselves. The people didn't believe. They didn't realize that God could do anything, that you have to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was, as Rav Dessler points out, the Letitcha Elyon notes in Source 18, it was a lack on some level of amuna, of faith that these people had. A lack of faith in themselves, a lack of faith in the Ribono Shel Olam, which caused this downfall. We, on the communal and on the individual level, have to believe, to daven, like in the story, for Shiata Deshmaya, that anything can happen. And we have to learn from the Meraglim that we, like the Meraglim, each and every one of us, is sent on a shlichus, on a mission. And we have to daven for Shiata Deshmaya, for the help of above, that we're able to be successful in this mission. But it goes even deeper than that. Rav Bloch and Shirei Das from Source 19, quoting the Medrash that we've spoken about before, that had Reuven, Boaz, and Aaron known, it'd be written about them in the Torah, the act they were going to do, they would have done it in a much greater fanfare type of way. And the Medrash goes on to say the following. Now that we don't have a Navi, or a vision, person of vision, to write down the actions we do, what happens to that which we do? Because after all, it's not the action that we're going to do going to bring about the ultimate redemption. Who writes about all the actions we do that brings Mashiach? And here the Medrash teaches us, the end of this Medrash, that the Kitvei Kodesh have not really been finished. They're still being written down. Eliyahu HaMelech HaMashiach, write down the actions of people that have, that create a different reality in this world that brings redemption one step closer. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chotem al Yadeyem. V'kolz Anira Mapsukim Achronim Shem Sefer Malachim, this all comes from the end of the last parak in Malachi, where it speaks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes down this book of the Choshvei Shmo, the Yirei Shmi. This last Navi is telling us something for all generations. And that's a Klal Gadol. Al na tachshavu ki be'aseka nevuah nifsakim gam ken kitvei kodesh. Don't think Malachi, the last chapter, the last Navi, the last prophet, that once the prophecy is gone, that the kitvei kodesh, that the divine scriptures is finished. Lo ken adavar, wrong. Kitvei HaKadosh Nechtavim Heim Afal Pi Shein Navi Shechtavim Lanu. It is being written down by Eliyahu Navi Melech HaMashiach. Which means, as the language of Rav Bloch, that there are individuals in the Tanakh and individuals Ad Hayom Hazeh who are involved in doing actions that affect the Dam HaBriya, the blood of creation, which means that they're doing something that's going to change the nature of the world. And it doesn't have to be major. It can be something so small, something so minor. But this act is something that's going to change the face of the people around them, of the world, their many worlds around them. And Eliyahu Navi, Melech HaMashiach, who understand that we're here to bring about a Tikkun Olam, write down these mitzvos. And the Kitvei HaKodesh is being written down on Hayom Hazeh. And my friends, I have a little secret to tell you. We know Mashiach is around the corner. He's at the corner.
And this book is going to be published. It's going to be the book from the time of Malachi ad Mashiach of all the actions people have done, where they have been loyal to their shlichus, where they've davened for siyata d'shmaya, for the help from above, to be able to be matzliach and bringing the world to its final completion. And I have a little secret to tell you, my friends. Each and every one of us, without exception, I bet you when this book gets published, whether it's an e-book or, you know, a hard copy, however you get it, lo mishtaneh, could be an app, you're going to look in the index to see if your name is in there. And there's no reason why your name shouldn't be there. And a number of pages referencing to things that you have done, each and every one of us, that's going to bring Mashiach closer. But we need to understand we have the ability to do so. We need to understand there's nothing stopping us from being in that book. We need to wake up every morning when we say, Moda'ani, Rabba, Munasecha, great is your Amunah on us, that today we can change the world. Today we believe that Shlucha Adam Kemoso Hashem is with me. He's not leaving me alone. And I have the ability in my interaction, in the way I speak to people, in the way I go about my everyday life to change the people around me. And whatever it is I need to do, I can do with the fullness of the heart. Because I know I'm going with a certain strength, and if I have life force within me, I have the ability to be that messenger who's loyal to their mission. And not to cry, Abachia Shachinam, a despair, I can't do this. And when we are able, each and every one of us, to work on in our own selves this feeling of courage, this feeling of, yes, I can move forward, and be able to create this as a reality, then we are redoing that crying of Noah into a sense of ability to hold on to Hashem, and then we're able to undo the galus and bring about the geula, bring about the redemption. That, my friends, is level number one of understanding this medrash. You cried for naught. You cried feeling like you were desperate. If you were to be able to realize that there was no reason to cry, if you were to realize that it was without justification, your tears and your fears, that you realized that you could only have turned to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you have that strength, things would have been different. That's level one. Level number two is based on the Asufos Varachos from Gold Vichzatzah. He notes in source number 20, based on a medrash, that describes the difference between the Jews living in the Midbar and the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. And it's like little chicks that are born. Now when the little chicks are very tiny, the mother feeds them, puts a little food into their mouth, and hovers over them and, you know, protects them. And then when the chicks get a little bit bigger, the mother, you know, like, shoos them away and says, you know, you can get food on your own, you know. Get moving. Protect yourself. And it's part of the growth process. When we were in the Midbar, we were under, literally, Hashem's wings. We had the man, we had the Anarkavod, we had the water, we had the Be'er, we had everything. We were taught Torah. We were, like these chicks, being taken care of and fed and cuddled and helped. Eretz Yisrael is the environment of being able to go out on our own. We spoke about a few weeks ago the pasuk in Parsha Kedoshim of Unutatim Koleitz Machal, to plant every fruit tree. As a command, your job is to go into Eretz Yisrael and plant. Your job is to now to take care of, to build. It's a different idea than that was in the desert. And the story brings down that this is what the miraculously were afraid of. When they saw in Eretz Yisrael that it was going to be very different from the Midbar, they had two fears. One fear was, why should we leave the Midbar? Isn't it nice of the Midbar to be, you know, served hand and foot in this spiritual oasis of connection to God? Why should we go into the land of Israel and be distant from God and have to work the land to connect with God? And two, we're going to be taken down from our nesios, from our position. We're good nesiim, we're good, you know, leaders in a Midbar environment, in a desert environment. But are we going to be able to be good nesiim, good leaders in an Eretz Yisrael environment? I'm not so sure. And they were afraid they were going to lose their jobs, you know, though not directly related. You know, my simple mind, I think of 15, 20 years ago when I was living in America doing teacher training,
It was something that I enjoyed doing, something I like to do. But now, 20 years later, with computers and smart boards and PowerPoint and these things that I'm not at all familiar with, it's a different generation. I'm unable to give these same type of seminars, perhaps, because, you know, it speaks a different language. So this was the difference between the generation of the Midbar and the generation of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Goldberg then goes on to explain that the generation of the Midbar in 21 is a generation of Chochmah. Chochmah is one who learns things from somebody else. It's a passive learning. You take in information. The generation of that went into Eretz Yisrael is the generation of Bina, which is a generation of Mevin Dover Melibo Mitoch Dvarim Shelema. You hear something, and then you'll be able to explain it and to process it and make it yours. And this is the idea of Ezu Ashir, who's the one who's rich, the asterisk in 21. Samech Bechelko, one who's happy in his portion, which means he has a koach hakinyin shebo, nasa davar chelko. When you've acquired something, you've worked something through, right? If someone tells you a piece of information and you just listen, it's not the same joy and it's not the same feeling of bailus, of ownership, as if someone tells you something and you say, oh, let me think about it. Oh, you know, that reminds me of, and you're this related to. Suddenly the idea becomes part of you. Suddenly the idea works with you. And then it you have an ownership on this idea because you've thought about it, you've processed it, you've analyzed it, and it's become yours. This was the difference between Eretz Yisrael and the Midbar. Eretz Yisrael, Hashayara 22, Hayom Yomit, Betzilab, Demnusla, Bamidbar, Heviu Efot Yisrael, Liot Chaim, Shelt Vekut, Matmedet, Bibaram. Living in the Midbar, you had constant connection to God. Aval ima hinakes la'aretz v'nizkak l'doshneu la'ficha, Alulim chaye geshem ha'afurim, v'tardaut hayom yomim, l'natek chalila petil la'chibur, u'levatek et rekuto mi boro. The obvious challenge is, so when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and you are suddenly planting and working the land, and having to earn your livelihood, there obviously could come a point where a person is going to be disconnected from God. But this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wants that in this world of the physical, Unitiat Eitz 23, the asterisk, Vaday Mitzamele Chaim Artziim, go plant a tree. It represents the physical world, but I want you to plant the tree. I want you to take root. I want you to be able to see the godliness in the physicality. Shetachli Briyato Olam Haita Sheyeh Adam Meisig Das Torah Begiyato Shelo Dafka. What Hashem wants on every level, whether it's the Torah learning that you should make it yours, whether it's the world at large, that you have to be able to plant and to create your land, your space, that you have ownership over it, and through this connect to God, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He didn't want that the Midbar experience should be the only experience. He wanted the Midbar experience to be the preparation for the Eretz Yisrael experience. And that was the mistake that they made. They looked at the Eretz Yisrael experience as a stira, as a contradiction to the Midbar experience. And the Midbar, we're connected to God. We're sitting passively and enjoying the Torah we hear. But that experience was just to get you used to, like that little chick. What does it mean to be fed so that you can feed yourself? What does it mean to be protected so that you can protect yourself? The ultimate thing that Hashem wants is that in Eretz Yisrael, in a world of the physical world, to be able to find Hashem. Because what Hashem ultimately wants is our effort. He wants us to invest in this relationship. He doesn't only want the Chochmah, he wants the Bina and the Das. He wants us to plant and in the planting be able to find Hashem. And this worry of theirs that, well, we can't be leaders in such an environment is false. Who was the next leader after Moshe Rabbeinu? Yoshua was. You can still be leaders. It just means being able to adapt to the new reality. But they weren't able to see this. Vehizo 27. Now we come to the punchline. This is Habachia Shochinam. Aleha Dibru Kan Chachamim. B'nei Soba Midbar, B'nei Israel in the desert, B'kshu Chayim Uchaniim. Hanitulim Hashka Shoyigio Maimats. B'nei Israel in the desert didn't have to work. They had the man to their feet. They learned Torah directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't like they had to work over a hard Gemara. Everything was handed them on a silver platter. The Alda Bachu. And that's why they were crying. Shomdim heim labei chefa tzuzeh shebamidbar, that they were going to lose all of this bounty and all of this greatness of the midbar. Biram chokhmazu hanir cheshe mipi arav lomel mufyenet kamur bigidre matana. But this type of learning where the Rav is feeding all the information and a person's completely passive is a gift. But it's a gift that doesn't have the ability to acquire this gift. It's not enough to be given a gift, but you have to make that gift yours. A gift by its very nature isn't going to be yours unless you want. You take that gift. You acquire that gift. Right? Someone just hands you something and you say, you know, put it down. It's not yours. You have to take it. You have to use it. You have to make it yours. Share lo naseh kinyan gomor b'nefesh. It doesn't become part of you. Al kein alulav omedet hili bud. If it's not part of you, it can easily be destroyed. B'chiyatahu shel zeh shemutza lo lirchoshe matanato v'likba v'darchei kinyan v'dayi b'chiyah shel chinam v'almachsheve pikul zeh nechtam dinam shayisro v'lay lohu lel tishaba'av. Woe to Bechiyah of Chinam. They were crying because they wanted life to be a gift, a Chinam for free, without having to work and having to make it theirs. What does it mean that they cried that night at Bechiyah Shel Chinam? They were crying because they realized that if they go into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to work hard to make these gifts theirs. They didn't want that. They just wanted to sit and have the gifts without any effort. They didn't want to make that transition of allowing it to become theirs. And that is why this is a gzeirah for generations. That Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have wanted the kachu malacham shel dvarim, the asterisk in 27. Amar lama Kadosh Baruch Hu, atem bechitem bechia shochinam al shenitvatem lezur matanahim lo meitko bekinyan avodah sabarei. ואני נותן לכם בחייה של דורות שתיקון מחשב הפיקול זה יתרחש כאשר צופם של ישראל שיקבלו עצמם עבודת השם מתוך בחייה ויסורים של גולוס עמוקה של דורות. How am I going to teach you this lesson? I'm going to make you go into golos. I'm going to make you hold on to Torah for dear life. I'm going to make you sweat it out that you realize how precious it is. I'm going to make you have to work for Torah. That which you've been taking for granted, your Yiddishkeit, your relationship with God, why do I need to work for it? Let me just have it on a silver platter. And I'm telling you, no, go into Eretz Yisrael and make it yours. You say, no, it wants to work. Chayecha, you cried for nothing that night, meaning you didn't want to work. I'm going to make sure that the Golos experience is going to happen, that you're going to have to work. You're going to have to make it a kinyan, because in Golos, in exile, if you think that, you know, you can keep your Judaism without fighting for it, we know you're terribly mistaken. And my friends, now we can understand, and this is the beauty of learning, a very famous Maimer, Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Mishmei Derav. Very famous Gemara. Kishem shemishenichnas ad mimati besimcha, kach mishenichnas adar marvi besimcha. Just like Kishem, that when Av comes, we limit our Simcha. Likewise, when Adar comes, we expand our Simcha. So you take a look at this Maimer and you say, what? What's the connection between Av and Adar? What's the connection between limiting our Simcha, having more Simcha just because in Av we're sadder, so in Adar we're happier, we have a balance? Like, there's a lot of Torah on this. But what we hear of Goldvich explains, and he explains it so beautifully, we now understand what's going on. Kishem means that the whole problem in Av And this was the problem of the Meraglim, was that they didn't want to work hard, that they didn't want to put in their effort into their Avodas Hashem. And therefore, it became a very sad time as a repercussions of this. Likewise, we have as the balance, Adar. Adar is the time of Hadar Kiblua of Purim, where we re-accepted the Torah, Kimu v'Kiblu. We were Sameach v'Chelko. We are happy in our Chelek. So just like Av is the time where we're mourning the fact and our passivity, Adar is the time of rejoicing, because it's a time in Galus where the Jewish people are able to show that they learned this lesson and that they're able to rejoice with having to make this acquisition of Torah part and parcel of their lives. Tears of temerity on the second level, there was a certain rebelliousness here. Is rebelliousness on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned in this world. He envisioned a world of synthesis, of Shamayim and Aretz, of heaven and earth coming together. And the people were rebelling against this. The people just wanted to live in the Midbar experience and just take it in without having to toil. That is chinam, that is for free. That doesn't happen. That's not Avodas Hashem. As the Sifti Chaim points out in source number 30, there were many Rabbani who were given the opportunity, the Gra, the Beis Yosef, were given the opportunities of having Magidim, having like these angels coming and teaching them Torah. And they refused. They said, V'amar lo eineni rotzeh shitiya sagadati b'torato yibarach shmo eidei shum emtai klal v'klal. I don't want my Torah learning to come through another medium. What is more precious to Hashem? The godless ha'adam, chavivato v'chashivato b'enei Hashem yisparachi, kama shematzig b'amalo b'giyato. What is so beautiful to Hashem is not this passive learning and knowing a tremendous amount. It's about yegia, it's about working, it's about trying your own hand. I think just to add this parenthetically, this is something we need to work on very hard in our door. When everything in our generation, when everything comes to us as a magia li attitude, you know, you sit back and you just feel like, you know, bring it on. I've seen this, b'chasdei Hashem, I've had the opportunity of teaching in seminary for 11 years now. And I've seen over these 11 years, like, many generations seem to have passed. Time is moving very, very quickly. The first few years, I'm not giving a generalization here, obviously, and the girls are wonderful girls in Baruch Hashem, but there's almost a feeling like the first few years we're ready to work out a text, and now we'll sit back and inspire us. Come on, you just inspire us, and we're ready to be inspired. And we know, whether it's a secular book called The Shallows, which talks about how our minds, our brains are being revamped, remapped, neurologically, because of the internet, we are no longer thinking in the same processing and thinking that we used to do when we were reading books. Now everything is superficial. Everything has, you know, the hyperlinks coming at you. You don't have to work hard to research, to open, to think. And this is what is so precious to Hashem. And I say this, and I've mentioned this before, when people say to me, you know, Shira, you could save yourself a lot of time. And I'm not complaining against people, and God bless them. The people just, you know, do a database search, Bar Ilan search, and have a whole shir. And I'm not judging anyone else. I'm just talking for myself. I say all the agia, all the amelos is taken out. The ability to pull down a sefer, to learn a sefer, to say shayach, it's not shayach. I want to use this source, I don't want to use this source. And again, you have that going through in any time you prepare a shir, you always have that on Melos. But the ability to have to find it, in my humble opinion, is part of it's a kinyan. It's part of the acquisition, it's part of what Torah is about. It's part of being able to make that Torah is yours. And that's what Hashem wanted. He doesn't want chinam for nothing. He wants this working, as well as the Meraglim made the mistake that the Midbar experience, the experience of pure spirituality, is also what God wants. And that's also wrong. The Sfas-Emes says so beautifully. This is why, in Source 31, Rabbi Friend of the Parsha, Volume 3, quote, "This is why," says the Sfas-Emes, "we have the three laws of Nesachim, Chala, and Tzitzis at the end of the Parsha. The Sfas-Emes explains that all three mitzvahs counter the Meraglim's philosophy. 31a, the Meraglim felt that spirituality and materialism cannot be melded. There's an unbridgeable chasm between them, but the Torah tells us that not only can they be blended, they must be blended. The mitzvah of Nesachim, Hashem tells us, I want you to plant a vineyard and toil in the hot sun, sweating and worrying about your grapes. I want you to have to think about whether it's too hot or too cold, whether your crop is going to be infested or attacked. Then when you finish investing your energy into growing those grapes, I want you to squeeze them and offer the wine on the holy Mizbeach. For in truth, there aren't two distinct worlds. Every material pursuit must end in an act of sanctification of the products of this world. The same whole truths of our bread, giving it to the Kohen, of our wool, the sheep, giving, putting tzitzit on it. And that's our jobs now. We work, we make money, we pay tuition, we support those in learning. Many religions believe that true holiness means to become like angels. Very famous Kutzkervort, Anshei Kodesh Tiyuli, men of holiness shall you be to me. Hashem has plenty of angels, he doesn't need more angels. He wants man, human beings, to transcend all evil inclination and lust and laziness and become holy. And the Belzer Rebbe finds an allusion to all this in Moshe Rabbeinu's choice of a new name for Yoshua, Ka Yoshiacha. We know that the letter Yud is the Olam Haba. The letter He represents Olam Hazeh. The Meraglim felt there was no synthesis between the Yud, the spiritual world of Olam Haba, and the He, the physicality of Olam Hazeh. Moshe was alluding to Yoshua that in order to be spared from the plan, he would have to realize that they were wrong. The Yud and He can and must be melded into one, which would be the case when the Jews would reach Eretz Yisrael. So, my friends, we have the first two levels. Let's summarize and take a look at the third idea. Number one, what is the Bechiya Shel Chinam? This is the idea of that you cry because you didn't have faith, enough faith in Hashem. You cry because you didn't have enough faith in yourself of being a Shaliach HaBorei. And when you take the culture around you and put all your effort and invest everything into that, and forget the Ribbono Shalom, of course you're going to have reason to cry. You'll have plenty of reason to cry. How do we bring back on a personal, a national level of redemption? It's the ability of Yachol Nuchal, Alol Na'alah, the ability to go up, the ability to fight, the ability to recognize that each and every one of us can be found in that book, that each and every one of us is invested with a tremendous amount of potential, and that Eliyahu and Melech Mashiach are watching, to find those deeds that are part of the Damabria that's going to bring the world closer and closer to its final completion. Level number two, Bechiya Shel Chinam, you wanted nothing. You wanted to sit back and relax. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is hard work. Yiddishkeit is toil. Yiddishkeit is having to able to work through something. It's Bina. It's about making it yours. It's about a kinyan. It's about taking the physicality and making it part of the spirituality. That's the work that Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want us to live in a Midbar experience, and you would be able, like Yoshua, to be leaders in this experience. You have to understand the Ka, the ability of synthesis, of the Nesachim, of the wine libation, of the Challah, of the Tzitzis, of being able to take the physical and elevate it toward the spiritual. Final idea. Rav Pinkus Tiferet Shimshon 35a. He says, we know that if we take a look at the story in Dvorim, Pasuk tells us, V'teragnu ba'olechem v'tamru b'sinat Hashem otanu otzianu me'aretz Yisrael. They complained that Hashem hated them. And that's why Hashem took this about. V'gam lanu ha'im zeh kore yom yom. We live in a world of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gives us so many things. And one thing goes wrong. One thing doesn't happen like we want, right? The bank is closed too early, or the letter we were expecting doesn't come in the mail or the email. And immediately, what do we say? Oh, Hashem doesn't love me. What a crazy thought. This is the idea that every person says to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the morning, Al Chayenu HaMesirim Biyadecha. We understand, Avas Olam, that Hashem, you love us, a tremendous love. And even the greatest challenges that happen to us are also being directed from our Kodesh Baruch Hu for our good, even though oftentimes we don't see this. Atem bechitim bechia shachinam explains Rav Pinkus, you are crying because you think Hashem hates you, when you're not being able to see the whole picture. Like the reason that the Meraglim says it's Eretz Ochel Yoshvei, it's a land that consumes its inhabitants, Hashem made everyone die so no one would pay attention to Meraglim. Do you see the world as all good, or do you see the world as all bad? Do you see the world as a larger picture, or do you see the world in such a narrow state? Atem bechita mechia shachinam. You're crying over nothing. You're crying without appreciating all the goodness. You're getting caught up in the one bad thing that happens to you during the day without seeing all the bountiful things that happen during the day. You're just focused on chinam, on nothingness, in comparison to al chayeno mesurim biyadecha, on all the goodness of our lives being in Hashem's hand. And even though aleinu, even there are terrible things that happen, we realize ultimately that they're all coming from a good God. The Tziva Torah echoing this idea of Gamliel Rabinowitz in 36. The Limud Gadol Shanuka Jadam Sarich Lizar Ma'od Lo Livko Bechia Shachina. We have to be careful not to cry for naught. Hadavar Matzui B'Misha Shemit Baruch Enit Lo Ma'otar Matnat Chinam Kol Tov Baruch Nis V'Gashmir. V'Shapar Alav Matzavo Ulam Lepetei Ra Lo Eizem Arash Lili. Miyanu Milonein Mitonein Alagat Hashemim Ovo Pratzeh. It's exactly what Pinkus is saying. A person can have so much bounty, Baruch Hashem, a beautiful family, and clothes, and a house, and a roof, and there's so much bracha. One thing goes wrong. God, you hate me. God, how could you have done this to me, right? That's a bechiyah shachinam. That's crying for naught. That's losing focus. That's losing perspective. And on this, we wonder, Madua lo tumala picha shirun anim al shamit baruch asher itivim kamot chad yom hazeh. And, you know, we really should ask this person, why haven't you been thanking Hashem all along? Instead of thanking Hashem, when one thing doesn't go the way you want, you're starting to cry. That's a bechia shachina. Ze kfiyos tova atzuma klape Hashem hakol atovo shasaimach. Shata bakrut betanos etzlunos bimkom lehotos lehalul shabeah. This is tears of temerity. This is tears of chutzpah. That Hashem had given you so much, and instead of thanking him all day, all you can do is complain when something goes wrong. That's the bechiyah shachinam. I'll give you a reason to cry. You're right. I'm going to give you a reason to cry to make you appreciate what you have. That when you're running away in goal, suddenly life takes on a whole different value. Your possessions take on a whole different value. If you're not going to appreciate them when you have them, then I'll make you appreciate them in other ways. And he quotes here a beautiful idea of the tzaddikim who say, that when a person is very careful to say on everything, Gam Zulatova, this too is for the good, God up in Shemayim says, or the Malachim say, look, he's saying this is good, and this isn't good. We're going to show him what good is. If he's able to say on this, his flat tire, Gam Zulatova, this is good, well, this guy deserves to be shown what really good is, or what revealed good is. And Mida Tova Meruba La Ein Orech. And this is if a person is always going to complain, this is bad. Oh, flat tire, it's the worst thing in the world. Lo Aleinu, God's going to say, you know what? You want to complain what bad is? I'll give you reason to complain. Lo Aleinu. And this is something we have to be careful about. And it's no accident the Vizal Satorah in this essay ends by saying, you know, we've spoken about all these things that happened on Tisha B'Av. But don't you realize that if all these things are happening on Tisha B'Av, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu orchestrating this. Karalai Moed is a time of tremendous closeness that Hashem is with us. If Hashem is mamish happening all these terrible things, so you mamish see that the Nechama, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Shechina, is there at this moment. And we know, as the Navi tells us, that these very days of fast days are going to turn into days of Sason V'Simcha, days of rejoicing, days of tremendous happiness, because this is our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to realize that we cried because we lost perspective. When we're able to have the perspective that Hashem is with us through everything, and that I appreciate that everything that Hashem has given me, that Hashem takes those very days which are so negative, and He says there's no need to have these days anymore. You appreciate me under all circumstances. Let me now flip these days into positive days. Atem bechitem bechias shachinam. What is the tears of Noah? On the first level, there's a tears of lack of faith in Hashem and lack of faith in ourselves. We need to do our shlichus. We need to be written in that book to do our mission. On the second level, so you didn't want to work. You wanted to take the easy way out, the midbar experience. That's not what Hashem has envisioned. Hashem has envisioned that you don't take the easy way out. You don't sit back and say, inspire me. You work hard. As I say to my students, a baked potato baked in the oven is so much better than a microwave potato. It's hard work. It's effort. It's time. That's what's going to taste better. It's going to be investing in yourself. It's about taking the physicality and connecting to spirituality. That hard work is what Hashem wants. You wanted Bechiyas Shachinam. You wanted it for free. Chayecha, you're going to have to go through a process. The Purim story, Kishem Kach, where Harta Kiblua, in the depth of Golos of Persia, you're going to re-accept Torah. That is when you're going to get the Simcha. That's a counter of the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, of Av. And finally, when we in our own personal lives cry without appreciating all the good and just focusing in on the negative, oh, I can't believe this happened. Oh, I can't believe that happened. It's a Bechiyas Shachinam. It's lacking the depth of appreciation of all that God has done for us. When you're able to say Gamzul Tova and appreciate everything, God says, I'm going to give you reason now to see the revealed good, to be able to appreciate Achayinu Masurim V'Yadecha. And this is the bracha we should all hope for, to be able to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu on everything that happens in life, and not to be so quick to complain, to have those tears of temerity. And when we're able to appreciate all that Hashem has done for us and continues to do for us, and to be able to see perspective when challenges and difficult things happen, and we're able to see that this is too coming from a beloved God, then we have begun to unlock that key of what the Golus is all about and be able to bring back ourselves into Geula experience, into redemptive experience, where indeed these days will turn into days of Sasson and Simcha, days of joy, where we're able to appreciate and feel Hashem's presence with us in ways that we realize that Hashem has been with us all the time. It's just our attitude that needs to be redefined and refocused.